I want to read two passages of Scripture to begin with. One is in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the 4th and the 5th verses. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then I want to notice the 8th chapter of Matthew, verses 16 and 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now these are parallel texts, identical texts. The one of them is a prophecy and the other the fulfillment of the prophecy. There's just a slight difference in the translation. In Isaiah 53 and 4, he spoke about Jesus. That entire chapter is a prophecy concerning Jesus, and that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. In Matthew, he says he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. It is evident then that the same words that are translated griefs and sorrows in Isaiah 53 and 4 are translated infirmities and sicknesses in Matthew 8:17. The doctrine of divine healing is well founded in the Scriptures. It isn't just something that we thought up down here in this day of time, but it has a good solid foundation in the Holy Scriptures. Isaiah said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we're healed. That's a great text of Scripture. It's one of the greatest in my thinking. Jesus did all the suffering. He received all of the wounding. We receive the benefits. That's why he did it. He had us in mind when he did it. Not just us here, but humankind. People. Suffering people. people in trouble, people under the hand of affliction and sickness of various kinds. He had those in mind when he did this, what he did. And surely he had all people in mind when he became wounded for our transgressions. He had the salvation of all people in mind. So he did the suffering. We receive the benefits. That's great. Something we didn't pay for, something we didn't earn, and something that all the suffering that we could do would not alleviate. But when the world was held in bondage under Satan's dismal sway, Jesus came on the scene to alleviate those things and heal their dread diseases. In Matthew 8:16, he said he healed all that were sick. We would not suppose that all of those folks were sick in the same way any more than we would believe that all of the folks in our day are sick in the same way. There are many kinds of diseases, many kinds of sicknesses. But we are told in the Holy Scriptures that Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses. All of them. There were some things in Jesus' day that was incurable. Leprosy was one of them, but he healed that too. Palsy was one, and he healed that. There wasn't any such thing as anything being incurable with Jesus. If Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases in his day, he can heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases today. There are some kinds of sicknesses that have developed through the generations of mankind that were never heard of in former generations. But they still come under the heading of all manner of sicknesses and diseases. There's one thing that frightens us, and that's cancer. But they had cancer in Jesus' day. The Bible speaks about cancer. Spoke about some folks that had erred from the faith and given heed to fables and were teaching wrong doctrine. He said their word leaked just like a cancer. Now, if Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases, no doubt he healed some cancers too. But we have just kind of come around to the idea in our day that if we discover we have a cancer, we just throw up our hands and give up in despair. All we can do now is just trust God till we die and hope that won't be too long. But that isn't so. Jesus healed cancers in his day, no doubt. And Jesus has healed cancers in my day too. I've witnessed some of those things. And Jesus is just as able to handle whatever happens to you and me, that we need not fear anything. God does not want us fearing anything but Him. Fear has a bondage to it. If you fear the devil, you'll get in bondage to him. If you fear people, you'll get in bondage to them. I've had some experience personally along that line. Got in bondage to one man for 8 years I carried it. It was torment all the time. Every time I was around him. And it's a little interesting story the way God maneuvered to break that, which I won't go into now, but I just mentioned that to confirm the fact that fear will bring you into bondage. And if you fear anything, it'll bring you into bondage. Fear the devil, it'll bring you into bondage. Fear the dark, it'll bring you into bondage. Fear ghosts. Superstitious people fear them sometimes. And they're in bondage. Fear any kind of sickness or disease, it'll bring you into bondage. Fear kills faith. I'm reminded of one young sister. She hadn't had too much experience. But she got away from home and away from the saints by a distance of several hundred miles. And one of her children got the diphtheria. She said waves of panic would sweep over her. She'd grab a hold of herself and say, "No, I mustn't fear. If I fear, I can't trust." And she'd be all right for a little while, and then panic would sweep over her again, and she'd just get a new hold. "No, I mustn't fear. If I fear, I can't trust." That's true. She finally got the victory over that, and the Lord healed her child. Sound and well. God doesn't want you and me fearing anything but Him. Now, in the 14th chapter of Matthew, in verse 14, it said, "Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and healed their sick." Then in the 13th chapter of Hebrews in verse 8, he said, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." In Jesus' day here upon the earth, he saw the multitudes of people and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. Now, if he's just the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's like that now. And the good news that I bring you is that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's moved with compassion toward you and me when we suffer today. And that compassion moves him to heal us when we call upon him and to trust him. We need to bolster our faith. The same faith that will bring salvation, will bring healing, or bring deliverance from any other kind of troubles that we may have. If we can just exercise the same faith. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 24, he says, "Who his own self," Jesus he's talking about here, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oftentimes I incorporate in my praying for the sick people that we believe that Jesus died and that he rose again. We believe that he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, there to appear in the presence of God for us, and we believe he's there right now, making intercession for us. And I mentioned to God, now God, look on your son. He's there before you right now. And he's got some stripes on his back. Look on those stripes and remember that they were laid there for the healing of the people. And for Christ's sake, and for the sake of the stripes on his back, have compassion on us and heal our sickness. That seems a great thought to me. That when we're in any kind of trouble, suffering any kind of suffering or pain or sickness, just to remember that our high priest, Jesus, is in the presence of God right now, and his mission there is to appear there in the presence of God for us, to make intercession for us, and he's standing before him in his resurrected body, that it has nail prints, scars in the hands and the feet and the stripes on his back, all testifying to his Father that I made this sacrifice for those people down there. I believe if we can keep thoughts like that in our minds, it will be some help to us as we endeavor to lay hold by faith on the promises of God for our healing. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, the first 3 verses, it tells about Jesus coming down from the mountain. Now this mountain that he spoke of here was the mountain where he had preached the Sermon on the Mount, incorporated in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew. And now he comes down from the mountain and he meets a leper, the first thing. And this leper comes falling before him, worshiping him, entreating him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. Leprosy, an incurable disease. And still incurable, so far as I know. But Jesus just touched him and his leprosy departed. Healed him. A touch from God is all that's needed. I remember praying for someone a while back who had several afflictions in body. And instead of just praying for each affliction, I just asked the Lord to touch this person and let the power of God, the healing power of God, enter into her body and pass through from her head to her feet. And that would be sufficient to eliminate all the problems she had. Every affliction. Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases. sometimes people who trust in doctors and medicines, they get a combination of ailments. And they're complicated. And what will help one thing will work against something else that's the matter with them. But God can just straighten out the whole thing if we can just trust Him. Nothing gets too complicated for Him. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, further down, verses 5 to 13, we have the case of a centurion. Now, a centurion was a Roman officer. He was not of Israel. But he had heard, no doubt, and had seen, perhaps, some of the miracles that Jesus wrought. So he came to him and said, "My servant is at home, grievously tormented with palsy." Sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." Wasn't that a blessing? Wasn't that great news? "I'll just go home with you and I'll heal your servant." The will of God is expressed over and over again in the Holy Scriptures, and yet so many times we doubt the will of God. None of us doubt His power. We already believe that God can do anything and everything. Nothing impossible with Him. But is it His will? And sometimes we pick on ourselves to the extent that, is it His will to heal me? He might heal anybody else. He might heal everybody. But how about me? Is it His will to heal me now? His will is expressed over and over again in the Scriptures. He said to the man with the leprosy, "I will, be thou clean." He said to the centurion whose servant had the palsy and was grievously tormented, "I will, come and heal him." That was His will. The centurion said, "No." Said, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But you just speak the word and my servant will be healed." Something had instilled a faith and confidence in this Roman officer. Wasn't of Israel. We find people outside of Israel sometimes. And Jesus said in this case, "I haven't found faith like what this man has in Israel." People outside of Israel sometimes had more faith than people in Israel. He said, "You just speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to this man, cometh, and he cometh, and to this man, do this, and he doeth it." He takes orders from me. In other words, I know what a word from one in authority means. And he was just acknowledging the fact that I believe you're in authority over sicknesses and diseases. That you have that authority and that power, and all you have to do is command them. And they'll go. Jesus said, "I haven't found faith like that in Israel." And he said to the man, "Go thy way, thy servant is healed." And he went home, found him healed. Found him well. Palsy. Palsy incurable. Leprosy incurable. Right here in the same chapter, it's recorded that Jesus healed both of them. Nothing incurable with him. In the 103rd Psalm, the first three verses, it said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases and forgiveth all thy iniquities." When Jesus saved you, how many sins did he forgive? Well, I'm not asking you to count 1, 2, 3. That isn't the idea. But did he forgive all your sins? Or did he leave you feeling condemned and guilty about some particular sin or some of them? Well, just as Jesus forgave all of our sins, we need to grasp it that he heals all of our diseases. All of them. The 34th Psalm, verse 19, says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Now, we're all ready to accept that, aren't we? We all believe many things can happen to us, and many things does happen to us. And we just kind of accept that sometimes and settle down on that. Well, this is one of the many things, many afflictions. But the Lord didn't leave us there. He said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." We need to believe that. We readily believe that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. We readily believe that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We have to believe that in order to be saved, but in believing that, we are saved. That's what saves us. Believing that Christ took our place and paid the price for our redemption and went to the cross in our stead as a substitute for us, and believing in that, we're saved. But now the same Bible that told us that Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree also told us that Jesus bore our sicknesses in his own body. Let us believe that just the same as we believe that he bore our sins, and in believing that, we'll be healed. Jesus bore our sicknesses. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." The prophet Jeremiah in the 17th chapter and the 14th verse says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." God give us that kind of confidence. That when God heals us, we'll be healed. Genuinely healed. Not just helped a little. Not just relieved some. Not just a temporary something. But we'll be healed. We'll be made whole. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." I've seen folks get help and still have a struggle. But when I pray for them again, I say, "God, I know you can do a better job of healing than this. Don't drop them at this point. Heal them until they're healed. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." God help us to acquire and develop a measure of faith that we'll expect victory. Duane said to his grandmother and me, he was up at our place a while back and pretty sick. Had a high fever. He came into our room one morning. I said, "Well, Duane, how are you this morning?" He says, "I got a fever." But said, "Just keep praying for me and the fever will be gone." Well, that's a good outlook, isn't it? Well, his fever did go. But whatever's wrong with us, we should have that kind of attitude. Just keep praying for me and it'll be gone. Just expect it to go, Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. It'll just go. We need to expect victories. We need to think in terms of victory. Never entertain doubts. Let's develop our faith. Increase our faith. The 10th chapter of Matthew and the first 9 verses there, we have Jesus sending forth his 12 apostles. And he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and over all sickness. He gave them that kind of power. Told them to go and preach the kingdom of God. And into whatever place they entered and they received them, healed the sick that were there. That was a part of their commission. A part of their ministry. Heal the sick. When we begin going down the list here, we will find that Jesus actually in his ministry healed more people than he saved. He just healed people by the wholesale sometimes. Healed all that were sick when they came to him. That is a direct expression of the mercy and the will of God toward humankind. To heal them of their sicknesses and diseases. So he sent them forth to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And they went forth doing this. Wherever you go, he said, preach the kingdom of God. And do these other things in connection with it. These are things that should accompany the preaching of the gospel throughout the world and throughout this age of time. These things go right along in the preaching of the gospel. And in the believing, the hearing, the receiving of the gospel. They are a part of the gospel. They belong to men and women who will dare to believe God. Then we have in Luke, the 10th chapter, practically the same thought. There were 70 in this case that Jesus commissioned to go forth. And said, "In whatever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house." Goes ahead to give some more instructions. And in verse 8 he says, "And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." Now, the kingdom of God and healing, it's just a part of it. Healing's just a part of the kingdom of God. Said, you heal the sick that are therein and say, the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When you get the kingdom, you get everything in it, every part of it, and included among other things is the healing of our sicknesses. Now that belongs to children of God. It's a special privilege of children of God to be healed of all manner of sicknesses and diseases by the power of God without the aid of doctors and medicines. That's a special privilege of the children of God. In Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20, we have the commission rehearsed again. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. That's the saved one, see? Children of God. That's our special privilege. These signs shall follow them that believe. And among the things that he mentions is, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's a special privilege of believers to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. All believers have that privilege. And if you're found any time where a minister isn't available, call on a believer. All believers have that privilege. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, verses 21 through 28, I think, covers the whole thought of the Syrophoenician woman. Jesus came into those coasts, and this woman went to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is at home, grievously vexed to the devil. Jesus just ignored her. The scripture said he never answered her a word. Do you know of anything quite so disconcerting or quite so humiliating as to just be totally, entirely ignored? Well, that's what happened to this woman. Jesus never said a word to her, just ignored her. And there she was, pleading for her daughter, grievously vexed to the devil. And she continued to plead, even though she was ignored, and finally Jesus said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now this woman was one that was looked upon by the Hebrew people, the pure Hebrew Israelites, as a dog. Just a low person, of low degree. They had no consideration for women of this particular nation, Syrophoenician woman. And Jesus just virtually called her a dog. But in this text, he makes it clear that healing is the children's bread. He said someplace about someone, if your son had asked you bread, would you give him a stone? No, you'd give him bread. And Jesus is representing to us that healing is the children's bread. And when we need bread, he'll give us bread. Said to this woman, in the meantime, the apostles came to Jesus and said, send this woman away. She's a pest. She's bothering us. Just calling after us. That is humiliating, wasn't it? Then to be called a dog, most of us would be ready to leave by then. Most of us think a little more highly of ourselves than we ought to think anyway. We'd say, all right, if that's the way you feel, I wouldn't take it now if you'd give it to me. Call me a dog. I wouldn't receive anything from you. But that woman was in need of help, and she had a conviction in her heart, here's a man that can help me, and this is the only person that can help me. That's the persuasion we need, folks. Jesus is the one that can help me, and he's the only one that can help me. People who trust in doctors and medicines, they come to the end sometimes. Evelyn has told me different times about her husband. He had strong faith in doctors. He just thought they could do most anything. And he had that brain tumor, and he survived 9 different operations on his brain before he died. But she said, when those doctors told him, we've done all we can do. There's nothing more that we can do to help you anymore. Said the look of despair that came on that man's face was pathetic. All of his hopes were gone now. They come to the end. They have so far that they can go and no farther. But there is no end to the power of God. We'll never hear God say to us, well, I've done all for you I can do now. I can't help you anymore. We can always be comforted and encouraged, trusting in the Lord. And I say that the thing for us to do as we go along through life is trust in the Lord, build up our faith, strengthen our faith through one thing and another, one step at a time, until when we reach the climactic conclusion and things are rough and it's a life or death issue, we'll have our faith polished and working and bright to help us out in that time. Now, that woman, she just humbled her heart some more. Said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'll be a dog. Call me a dog if you want to. I'll be a dog, but give me a crumb now. Give me some help. And Jesus said, I haven't found faith like that in Israel either. That surpassed anything that he'd found in Israel. And he said, Woman, go thy way. Thy daughter is delivered of her plague. Just go in peace. We have the same situation. There was that situation between the Jews and everyone who were not Jews. They looked at the Samaritans. The Samaritans were kind of corrupted Jewish people. They were of Jewish descent also, but they were not the pure blood like the Israelites were. So they looked on them as dogs too. And the Syrophoenician was looked upon as a dog. All the Gentiles were looked on that way and as unclean. But we have in spiritual Israel, Paul spoke in the second chapter of Romans, verses 28 and 29, he said, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, and circumcision is not that in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision that of the heart, whose praise is not of men but of God. Spiritual Israel. And healing was the children's bread in Jesus' day. Healing is the children's bread, spiritual Israel, in our day. Same thing right on. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anything you read in the New Testament about Jesus that depicts Jesus in any of his characteristics, any of his doings, any of his dealings with humankind, any of his attitudes, anything you read in there, you can just settle it. He's just like that now. Just the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says he's able to save all them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's the ever-living one. And he is the ever-same one. He is the one in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Whatever you read here, just be encouraged. He's just like that now. Any attitudes he manifests here, anything he does, any of his dispositions, anything you see in the Holy Scriptures concerning his dealings with humankind, just say in your mind, in your heart, he's just like that now. Just the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I can count on him to do just what he's been doing for these people that are read about in the Holy Scriptures. Amen.